What is up, boys and girls, and everything in between? This is Bear With Us. I am Matt. She is still Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I am fantastic. Although I feel like a ragamuffin.
Why do you feel like a ragamuffin?
Because I took my extensions out. Remember when you did that last week?
Yeah, but you asked me to. It wasn't like I just did it while you were sleeping.
Well, I'm just
you were aware of this decision.
I feel like a ragamuffin, so I don't have my extensions in yet. I just got my lips done, so they're all bruised. I feel like a hot mess.
Emphasis on the hot.
I feel like a mess. I mean, luckily this is audio and not video, although I know I post some video on Instagram and social media. So please bear with me, if you will.
I see what you did there. It was very clever of you. I feel like hot garbage.
You've been on one for the last few days.
Yeah, mentally.
Mentally.
Not physically. Physically, I've recovered from the ailment which caused me a stuffy nose during last week's episode.
Right.
So I feel physically better, but mentally, not in a great place.
What's wrong with you?
I can't adequately explain. I just feel like I'm in a funk. I'm not mad at anybody, like nothing happened. I'm just in the dumps.
Well, that happens. We can't be happy all the time. And I'm trying to express that to you because I feel like when you get in these moods or, I mean, we all do. We can't all be on all the time. We've been like great, I feel, for the last 2 weeks. Great mood, happy-go-lucky. Things have been basically perfect. So yeah, it's okay to sometimes feel a little blah.
I just feel out of it. And we were talking about how all of the things that I enjoy beyond our relationship and our jobs have pretty much gone bye-bye because of the pandemic right now.
Right.
I can't go to concerts. I can't go to watch baseball games. I can't go watch sports. There's like nothing for me to do to just occupy my mind. Not that I don't love spending every waking moment with you.
No, but trust me, we need a break
right.
Once in a while.
Totally. And we've talked about it on here, how even if it's just a day or two from time to time, I'm not fed up with you. It's not like you're on my nerves.
I will say, last night you tried blaming me.
I didn't try blaming you.
Because I think sometimes what you do when you're in a bad mood, you like pick me apart.
I project.
Yeah, rather than just being like, oh, I'm just in a bad mood. I'm not sure why. Instead, you're like, well, I feel like I've been a ghost to you the last 2 days. I'm like, but how? Because we've been together. And that's why I try not to take it personally, because I know you don't mean it. But sometimes you take it out on me. And we do that with the ones we're closest to and the ones we love the most. We sometimes take things out on them.
I didn't think I took anything out on you, though. I didn't
blame
you for anything.
You've been a little like, we don't need to get into the details. But like last night you were telling me all these things that I was doing wrong, but you couldn't pinpoint this one specific thing I was doing wrong. But you just said this overall vibe I'm giving you that when I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're just in a bad mood.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know me. I want facts. I want evidence. So when you ask me what's wrong and I don't have an answer for you, I start
doubting
myself. Well, but I doubt myself because I'm like, there's got to be something. Like, I didn't just wake up in a bad mood, but apparently
but yeah,
I did for like
happens.
3 days.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to kick out.
Sure.
I'm trying my best.
And I feel like you're on the other side of it. I feel like maybe yesterday was the worst.
Yeah.
I feel like you're getting to the other side.
I hope so. You made a hell of an effort this morning to get me out of the the funk that I'm in, but that's neither here nor there. What are we talking about this week?
So we've been chatting the last few days. What are we going to talk about in this week's episode? We couldn't figure it out. But yesterday we were watching the...
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay.
I know that's your MO, but it's become increasingly difficult to do this show each and every week and have new topics and not try to repeat ourselves.
Yesterday you made a suggestion about something. I'm like, babe, we already did... Oh, about jealousy.
Yeah.
And I was like, babe, we already did that. The jelly bugs. And you were like, oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. So go back and listen to it in the archives. But continue. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just...
It's okay.
I realized this week how, like, wow, there's a lot of time and effort that gets put into this, even though it seems like this last-minute side project we do. Like, it's really not.
I feel like we talk about it all week. Okay, what are we going to talk about this week? Or if something happens in our everyday life, we're like, oh, that's a great topic or something to talk about for the podcast.
Right.
But then when it comes down to it, we forget what we're going to bring up or talk about.
Yeah, because I have the short-term memory of a goldfish.
So yesterday we were watching this documentary that my sister, shout out Brie, recommended on Netflix called The Social Project.
The Social Dilemma.
Sorry, my bad. And it's all about, believe it or not, social media and all of the negative effects of it. And it had all of these bigwigs from Pinterest to Facebook to where
Instagram.
Else were they from? Yeah. Any like social media platform. It had all these bigwigs on there talking about these algorithms they use and how they're using social media. And they know what they're doing is negative, but they continue to do it.
Well, that's what you took out of it. More so, I felt like they acknowledged that social media has outgrown what its initial purpose
was. What the intention was, for sure.
And it's gotten to a point where it's created sort of a monster in our society, and it's slowly overtaking society.
Totally. And I just feel like because of our jobs and what we do, like we have to have a presence on social media. And man, social media, I just feel like is taking over everyone. Yesterday, we went for a bike ride, okay? And we went to the waterfront here in Pittsburgh. There's this little outdoor area outside of Starbucks. You went in to go get our coffees, and I was just sitting there, did not pick my phone up once. And I just observed. I looked at everyone. There was this woman. She had to be at least in her mid to late 70s. She went and sat down. It took her a little while to sit down in her chair, and she sat there, folded her hands on her lap, looked around. I was like, wow, look at this woman. She doesn't even care about her phone. I'm not even kidding. Less than 30 seconds later, she whipped out her iPhone, and she's scrolling, looking, did not look up for her phone. And I'm like, wow, even this 70 year old something old woman is addicted to her phone. It's wild to me.
So what are we discussing in regards to social media and our phone usage?
Everything there is to talk about. The negative effects of social media.
Cast the big net.
Yeah, I mean, we could do so many episodes on this. So I feel like
I think it was like our very first podcast. We talked about passwords and privacy.
Yes.
And we touched on this very briefly, but today I think we can dive a little bit deeper, particularly after watching that documentary. And if you're listening to this, you should check out the documentary. It was pretty fascinating. It was not boring, not
it wasn't
terribly
preachy.
Long.
Yeah,
no, it didn't seem like
informative.
It had like a crazy agenda. It was just very open and honest about all of the downfalls and pitfalls that social media has provided our day-to-day lives, including within our relationship. You've been on my ass lately a lot about being on my phone to the point where you've decided to call me Mr. Cell Phone.
Yes.
Because my face has been buried in my phone recently.
Yeah.
Very, very much so.
For a while.
Yeah.
Because we do spend so much time together almost all day, every day. When it, like, you know, you want to spend quality time together. You want to be sitting on the couch watching a movie together and not on your phone. But because we are together all the time, when is it appropriate to just sit and chill on your phone, scroll, answer some emails, you know, respond to some text messages, or just scroll social media? When is the right time for that? Because when you spend so much time with your partner, there's this weird balance of just being with them and spending quality time and also just being on your phone. And sometimes I feel like you do it when we're actually spending quality time together. Literally, as soon as you wake up, you're on your phone. And whether you're reading the news or, you know, you're...
My online slots addiction.
Oh my God.
That really got you?
Yes, because I feel like you're always doing that. And it kills me.
It keeps my mind occupied.
Right.
You know, an idle mind is the devil's playground. If I have something to look at, like I'm watching these reels spin and the numbers
but
going
it's like
up and down.
You, to look at it from my perspective, from the outside in, being like, you're just buried on your phone. You're just like here. We'll be like hanging out. Your kids are watching TV and you're just here. Babe, hello. Wake up. You don't need to be on your phone all the time. That's what it is. And that's what I feel like I noticed yesterday on this documentary, especially when you look at someone like that kid that they show in the document. All he does is he wakes up, he's on his phone. He walks into school, he's on his phone. Like, you miss everything around you. And I don't know, it's just, it kind of hurts my heart a little bit. Not you specifically, but just humanity in general.
Well, what do I do specifically that hurts your heart? Because we're talking about...
No, that's it. It is what it is. I mean, to be completely honest, my personal opinion on social media, for example, not just phones, but social media, I have such a hard time. Well, I try. I don't have such a hard time. I try to find this balance of, because of who we are and what we do outside of this podcast, we have to present ourselves in a certain way because of our job. You know, show, oh, look, I can look cute in a bikini. But also, I don't fucking walk around our house in a bikini. Like, that's not who I am on a date. Like, that's not who I am right now. That's not who I am on a daily basis. And I feel like there's this really negative image that we're portraying to young women. And It makes me like so mad to know, like, if I post a picture of myself without makeup, people are like, oh my God. Like, do you know how many tweets I got? I'm not even kidding. About the Kentucky Derby, asking when I was racing. Because people say I look like a horse. I'm going to cry. It makes me so mad. And it's like,
don't get upset. Talk to me about this.
It fucking sucks. Like, it honestly sucks. And I try so hard not to let that stuff bother me. But here I am crying because of all these things that people say about me on social media. And it makes me mad. I didn't even want to give them, like, the time of day or give them the credit that it got to me. But, you know, we're only human. You know, we can only take so much on social media and what people say and the negative things. And I mean, obviously we're no stranger to that, of everything that we went through in the beginning of our relationship, but it just sucks. And I hate that people have this platform to say these things. And I'm trying to show young girls, like, it doesn't matter what other people think or what they say, because maybe they look at me and think, oh, Leah is this, or she's happy about, like, it's not all what it's cracked up to be.
I think the point we're missing here is that social media is not real life.
It's not real life.
And watch the documentary, because it goes very in depth as to how people basically have the ability to create their own realities now based on this image that they put out to the world.
Right.
Based on hundreds of selfies from different angles and different lighting to get the best possible thing. That seems insane to me in any capacity.
Like, it broke my heart seeing that little girl on, like, I don't know if you even know, but I sat there, I had tears coming down my face watching that documentary yesterday, because that little girl that was so upset because they made fun of her ears. And now that girl has a complex about it for, like, who knows, the rest of her life or something. She's trying to cover her ears. I can't imagine. We didn't have to deal with that. Like, we dealt with, you know, real life bullies or something, but not on social media when you're a kid. That's awful.
But I think in the midst of all this social media madness, which it is, it's become sort of a necessary evil these days. If you look at it for what it is, objectively, it doesn't hold that much power over you.
Sure.
There's more to it than just somebody saying, oh, you look a certain way. Or like, for example, as pertains to relationships, because ultimately that's what we're here technically to talk about. You see things on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter of your friend and their girlfriend. You have to think of everybody's feed as their greatest hits.
Yes.
If you have a band, you have a band that you followed for years, and then they all of a sudden release the greatest hits, which is usually one or two tracks off of every album they've released, because the majority of them aren't great songs. They're not hits. Look at everybody's feed, whether it be your friend, whether it be a couple friend that you have. You're only seeing their greatest hits, which is kind of like how we ended up doing this podcast to begin with.
Right.
Was we're playing the B-sides right now.
Yeah.
We are very open and honest. And even then, some, we'd be lying to you if we didn't go through and choose, oh, this picture is better than that picture.
Of course.
There's work, there's effort, because you're portraying an image. But I think as far as couples go, it's very easy to get caught in the trap of, oh, well, so-and-so and her boyfriend went to Paris this weekend. Well, cool. They might have saved up for 3 years for that, and they post these photos.
Right.
It's not like a sustainable lifestyle.
And guess what? So-and-so and her boyfriend probably got in like 13 fights while they were in Paris and only posted cute photos of them together. And then as soon as they were done posing for that photo, went back to fighting. We have no idea what really happened. It's they're only showing this perfect image from the outside.
It's like the old theory of keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Well, my neighbor has this, so I have to have that. Social media kind of keeps that going. It perpetuates that idea, because so-and-so that I follow does this, or this guy and that guy, or this girl and her boyfriend did this amazing thing.
Yeah.
Why isn't our relationship like that? Oh, he got breakfast in bed. Why don't you make me breakfast in bed?
Yeah, it's so stupid. It's not real, and it's not realistic. It's so wild. It's not what is really happening in the real world, what you see on social media. It's just not. Like influencers, for example, when you talk about, like, I was joking because there was this thing that was going around. If you pretend you're doing an influencer video, but you actually film like your boyfriend or your husband and their reaction. Remember when we did that the other day?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, guys. So there's this new, I know a lot of you have been wondering about my skincare routine. Guess what? No one, not one person in the world is wondering about your skincare routine. No one. Stop it. Like, it's embarrassing. And then you go on and you look at social media and every single influencer, hey guys, Stop. Like, it's not real. Stop talking like that. No one talks like that. It is fucking embarrassing. And then you're putting this false sense of reality out there for all of your followers, whether they be young girls or they're couples, whoever it is, you're putting this out there. And now they're thinking that this is how we're supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to act. This is how we're supposed to live. No.
I just want to know when influencer became a job title.
We talked about this the other day.
I understand why athletes and movie stars have gotten endorsements.
For
because
sure.
You appreciate them for different reasons. You want to buy this thing that this celebrity endorses because you like that celebrity, and maybe somewhere it feels, if you eat a Snickers, you'll be, you know.
You'll look like J-Lo.
Yeah, totally. So, of course, I'm going to eat all the Snickers.
Right.
But the concept of just an influencer being an influencer, like, we made
Who
a joke.
You?
We were walking through the city the other day, and we saw no less than, what, 7 or 8 people doing photo shoots just against random walls. They were just.
But normal. They were set up to do a shoot. It wasn't like we were just walking across the bridge and we're like, oh, hey, take a picture of me in front of this sign. This is cute. It was like full on set up. Like, this one girl had a stand and she's taking videos of her stretching on the bridge. And I mean, you know what? All the more power to her. Who am I to judge? But at the same time, I'm also judging you. Like, it's fucking weird.
You feel so strongly regarding this whole social media culture that you actually started something.
There was a post that I made on social media. It was last year. I was just sitting on my couch. Bree took it of me. I just woke up, bags under my eyes, my hair, my extensions were all over the place. And I posted it. And it was one of my most liked photos. It was just me. Nothing, no glitz, no glam, just me. And so many people were like, oh my gosh, thank you for, I mean, of course I got a lot of hate, but then, you know, you get a lot of people being like, oh my gosh, that's so cool you posted that. So then I started posting no makeup selfies, without filters, without Facetune, nothing, just me. And then it kind of caught on, and all of these girls that are my followers started posting their own. And they're like, oh my gosh, I would have never done this if it wasn't for you. And that to me meant the world. So ever since then, I try. Yes, I still post bikini photos. I post, you know, thirst traps, if you will.
Oh, we'll get to that. I was keeping that in my back pocket.
But I think it's important to do the balance and show what the reality is and how we really are and what we should be and what we should portray to young girls. And that's important. And there are so many girls that posted and sent me their photos and been like, this is me. I would have never posted this. I would have never done this without a filter, without a, you know, putting my makeup on and all of that. And that to me just makes me so happy to know that, you know, we're all in this together.
To take it to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Let's talk about thirst traps. I know
sure.
We talked about this again before briefly.
Yes.
In like episode 1 or 2.
Yes.
But I still don't understand why they exist. Like, what do you personally, Leah,
yes,
get from posting these thirst traps?
So I think a lot of people think of it like, oh, I want, because you even have said to me, oh, because you want guys. No, I don't give a fuck about what a guy thinks. For me, more than anything, I want to make myself feel good. When I do a hot little photo shoot, especially the latest one I did in Miami a few weeks ago, I haven't been at work. I haven't had anything to look forward to. I've been sitting at home with nothing to do. We're in a pandemic. I feel like I gained weight during quarantine. I haven't felt like my best self. I just felt like a schlub. And I was like, you know what? I need to do something to really like just make myself feel good. And I want to feel like a babe. I want to like embrace myself, embrace my body. And who cares if I put on a few pounds? Who cares if, you know, I haven't been able to go to work? I wanted to just put my best self forward. So I went and got my glam done, did this awesome photo shoot on the beach, and I got the photos back. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe she's not as out of shape as she thought, or whatever it may be. It made me feel better. It made me feel good.
I feel like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, where you were saying that the negative comments got you all shook up. The positive comments, how...
To be honest, I don't really read the comments on Instagram. I really don't. The only thing that I'm saying about the negative comments on Twitter is I got a bunch of... because Twitter is just tweets. They're just comments.
Right, but I'm asking just as pertains to social media. Like, what... I know, and they talk about it in the documentary, like that momentary dopamine dump.
Sure.
Where you're like, ooh, I got all these likes.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
I don't...
Because to me, I don't feel any different about posting a picture, like a thirst trap photo, compared to me with no makeup. To me, it feels the same. So I just think it's cool. Like, also with our job, we have to do that, especially as women. Every single female in our industry posts photos of them looking cute. I don't care what you say, whether it's them in a bikini, whether it's them walking down the street with their new Chanel bag or whatever it may be. With our job, that is important, because guess what? I get paid to post certain things on my social media because I have followers, because of what I post. And that's just the nature of the beast. It's a double-edged sword. Like you said, it's this weird dichotomy of posting these photos that are cute, but also this is not who I am every single day. I don't go walking around in a bikini with like full glam. I haven't felt like that in so long. So that's why it was important for me to do something like that. And I personally have been doing photo shoots. My mom used to drive me into Boston when I was in high school, before I even had a license, to go take photos for future bookings and for jobs and things like that. So I've been doing that since I was 15. I just enjoy doing it. It's fun for me. I enjoy taking photos and I just like to do it.
But do you see where it would be unsettling from your partner's perspective?
No.
You don't see
that
at all?
I don't see how it would be unsettling. I make it abundantly clear how in love I am with you. It's not at all about trying to get outside attention. Like, you send me thirst trap photos of yourself, right? And I'm like, babe, you should post that. That's fucking hot. And you're like, no, I can't, but you can. Like, and I've posted thirst trap photos of you.
You're right.
Am I right?
I think so. I think. I went through this phase when I was bored in my hotel when I first learned how to use the timer on the camera.
And you sent me like hot photos. And I was like, you should post that. And like, because I don't care. And that's, I think, the difference. I really don't care. I know your mind. Like, yeah, post all the sexy photos you want.
I don't think dudes generally post sexy photos.
It's true.
I mean, like,
it would be weird. It's
me
this
and my
weird
Calvin
balance.
Klein's with like this bulge. We'll just put that on, see how many likes that gets. Probably get kicked off Instagram.
Okay, to your point, though, the other day you posted that video of you and Cash
doing
the chip challenge.
Right.
Did you not come up to me and say, babe, look, this already has 40,000 views?
Well, because I got a notification. My Instagram never sends me messages because of how many views I have.
But I'm just saying that was a thing you said.
It was a thing I said,
if
much like I got a notification saying the president will speak at 4 p.m.
Oh, my
it was
wrong.
Just an alert.
Babe.
I was letting you know. By the way, sidebar. You very much. This past Sunday, when the kids were over, you committed an atrocity under the guise of being sweet and thoughtful.
I mean, come on. That was very thoughtful of
me. It was very thoughtful. At first glance, I was like, wow, this is really nice. You thought...
Let's give some context.
Yeah, my son for months has been obsessed with this one chip challenge. There's this company that makes these Reaper pepper tortilla chips, and you get one in the little box that's shaped like a coffin.
And each chip is $6.
Yeah, well.
Which is insane.
Yeah, because it almost commits a murder. It's cheaper than a hitman.
Right.
So,
but
Leah,
I saw them at the market.
Yeah, Leah picked them up and brought them home, and my son was ecstatic, like literally jumping up and down. He was so excited.
To the point where he called me. He couldn't even wait till I got home. He called me like, oh my God, thank you so much.
Yeah, because my kid, like most kids, is obsessed with YouTube and social media and all of these various things that the challenges and things that influencers do. I'm trying my best to break that habit, but failing each and every day. Anyway, did the one chip challenge. The video is on my Instagram at WWE Grave, should you choose to enjoy the entire 5-minute spectacle. What was not enjoyable was what went down about 30 minutes post chip eating.
Well, can we just talk about poor Cash crying? Like, that broke my heart.
Yeah.
Looking over, and he was so excited. He went from excitement to being like, oh, this is kind of hot, to there was milk all over my kitchen, all up and down the cabinets. You would have thought a cow was murdered in
it
there
looked,
or something.
Yeah, it was... It was quite the scene. 30 minutes later, however, after proudly bragging that I did the challenge, I succeeded. I did not drink anything for the 5 minutes allotted, nor for probably 20 minutes after. I was preparing to eat buffalo cauliflower. That's how confident I was.
He had a bowl in front of him.
I had a bowl of cauliflower doused in buffalo sauce, hot sauce, and I was ready to enjoy it. And then all of a sudden, I experienced a pain that could best be described as being stabbed with a goddamn soldering iron in my stomach.
I've never seen him like this. He came crawling down our staircase, crawling into the living room on all fours. He was like, I'm gonna die. And your poor girls, they had tears in their eyes. They're like, what's wrong with daddy? I'm like, he's fine. He just has a bellyache.
I've never felt pain like that in my life.
Oh my God.
It was the worst. And it wasn't a sickness. It wasn't like, oh, got to run to the bathroom. Full disclosure, I made myself throw up because I was like, I got to get this out of my body. This is going to kill me if I don't. No success.
Well, this moron next to me decides it would be okay to eat this chip on an empty stomach. No food. It was 1 or 2 in the afternoon. He ate it on an empty stomach. Can you believe it? So that's why he's keeled over in the living room. I'm like, babe, you're fine. Eat a peanut butter sandwich. You'll be good. And it cured you.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess this can actually be blamed
social media.
To social media. Because that's what the one chip challenge was all about, was trying to do this. So we decided to do it. Yeah, it's got several hundred thousand views. My son's thrilled. He thinks he's an influencer now. But it's very important to teach him that, as we learned firsthand, the clip online of us doing this fun thing had consequences.
And it
because
wasn't
both
reality.
Of us were ruined.
Yes.
All damn afternoon.
Poor thing. But nothing a little peanut butter sandwich can't fix.
That's true. Peanut butter sandwich. Maybe we need to just dole out peanut butter sandwiches for everybody who does something stupid via social media.
But it's crazy. So your kids, for example, they're obsessed with TikTok. They love YouTube. They're all on their phones.
Remember when we were kids how easy social media was? Because it didn't
really
exist.
There was no social media. And that's the difference. So that really pissed me off about this documentary. Watching it yesterday, they talked about how when we were kids, watching Saturday morning cartoons on whatever channel you're watching it on, advertisers were not allowed to show certain ads because kids were watching. But nowadays, kids are watching YouTube. All of your kids are on YouTube watching their shows and everything they have that they like to watch. These ads, they don't have the same protection. They're putting these ads that are out there that are not out there to protect kids. And that maddens me. These things that are being put out there for your kids to see that we probably have no idea about.
Beyond the kids, what about like boyfriends and girlfriends around the world that are seeing all this stuff that are like, oh man, I'm less than. I suck at relationships. I'm not a good boyfriend or girlfriend because I saw this stuff online.
I thought we already talked about relationships.
We did, but I feel like there's more than just okay. What we were saying.
I would like
your perspective.
Traps?
No, not just thirst traps, just social media negatively affecting your relationship.
I feel like we're pretty good at not comparing our relationship to others. That's obviously why we have this podcast. Especially nowadays, I know what other people are posting and what they're putting out there isn't real.
I think just across the board, if you approach anything with the idea that it's not real life, then you're less likely to find yourself as having an issue because
and feeling insecure about it.
If your significant other is posting selfies or the pictures or thirst traps or this, that, and the other thing, you know firsthand that's not how they're living.
Right.
But that's the image they're putting out to the world. Remind yourself that on the other side of the screen, that's what's happening as well.
Right.
All these people who have better Instagram feeds than you do and maybe have money and fame and fortune and all these great things that you aspire to, that's not their actual full-time everyday life.
No.
And I think it's very important to hammer that home and remind yourself regularly, because whereas you see something that is cool on social media, maybe it's inclined to make you want to try something or try a restaurant or go do these things.
Yeah.
It's basically advertising yourself. When you look at a McDonald's ad, you have never actually received an order that looks anything like what is in the McDonald's ad.
Another thing I will say, so when I use a lot of different makeup artists for work, when I did this shoot in Miami a couple weeks ago, the makeup artist, I never met her before in person. She walked in and she's like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you. And I'm glad you're just as pretty as in your photos on Instagram. She's like, you actually look like you. And I'm like, what? Like, that's such a weird comment. She's like, you'd be so surprised. Some of these girls' houses that I show up to and they look nothing like what they look like on social media. And I'm like, you're kidding. Like, how crazy is that? That's a comment she's made because it's happened to her so often. Because girls don't look how they actually do because they Facetune their face or they don't like this, they chop that out. They, you know, it's not how they really look. That to me was like, it blew my mind.
Do you remember the days before cell phone cameras? When
you
actually
had
to have a camera
yes.
or a webcam or anything to take
a photo.
Oh my
God, webcams.
The amount of people, I remember, God, I couldn't have been, what, 13, 14 years old when I think MySpace started happening, and even before that, just AOL with the instant messenger. Like if you had a photo, you were like cool.
Right.
Very few people had pictures.
Like actual photo.
You get the ASL
pic. You'd have
pick.
To scan them sometimes. You'd have to take a scanner. I remember my parents had a scanner. Scan the photo, because we would do it on disposable cameras. Print them out at CVS. Go home, scan the photo, upload it to your computer. And that's how you had a photo on your computer, which is wild. It's changed so much.
Yeah, and there was a lot of work involved, and people were less inclined to just fire every photo that they have at the world.
Like MySpace, did you have a MySpace photo where like your hair was in your eyes? I guarantee you did.
I don't think eyeliner. I think I was a little older when MySpace. I think I got confused a minute ago. My first interactions were AOL in the chat rooms and things like that.
It was my favorite thing. We would make up all these characters when they would say ASL. We'd be like, age 30, sex, yes please, location, your mom's room.
So you've been a pervert for many years. That's basically what we're getting at. It all makes sense.
What was
now.
Your screen name?
I don't remember. We had this conversation off the air several months ago, and I don't really recall.
WWE Fanatic 123.
No, it was never anything like that.
Mine was Shoppin' Babe 87.
Yeah, I feel like you've told me this. There was Shoppin' Babe.
That was my
Babe,
first
and then
one, and the other one was Sugar Baby 127. XX. Also, 127 stood for December 7th, because that was Aaron Carter's birthday. And I was obsessed.
Aaron Carter. Isn't he like on meth now?
No, I think he got clean. Remember we watched that documentary, True Hollywood Story, not that long ago. Remember?
No.
Oh my God, you have the memory of a goldfish.
I just said that and remembered.
So yeah, I guess the moral of the story is social media is not real life. Stop comparing yourself to others, even though we're all guilty of it. It's only human nature. But just realize that what you're seeing out there is not what's really happening behind the camera.
So don't get caught up in it. Don't let your partner get caught up in it. Don't let your friends or your kids caught up in
it. Don't fight over social media with your partner. Like, that should not be something you fight about. If you're going to fight, do it over something else. It's not worth fighting over social media. Oh, you liked her photo, or, oh, I don't like this, or why did you post that? You're reading it. No, if I'm posting a quote, I think I posted a quote one time and you're like, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything. I just like the quote. It has nothing to do with you. If I'm mad at you, you're going to know. You're not going to go on social media and be like, oh, is she mad at me? No. You'll know in real life.
So I should disregard your social media passive aggression?
I don't have...
I was kidding. We should check the mail.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail! Question number one, honey. So I'm 10 weeks pregnant, and before I got pregnant, my boyfriend was all about us getting pregnant and having a baby. However, now he texts me every other day, not even to ask me about how I feel or anything about the baby, but rather asks me for nudes.
Yes.
I've even sent him articles about the first trimester and what he can do as a dad, and he said, that's a lot of information. Facepalm. So my question is more for Matt. How long did it take you to realize you were going to be a father? Is there anything I can do to wake his ass up?
Make sure your dude is listening to this. Being a dad is a hard job. I will readily admit it's not as difficult as being a mother. You get sort of the benefit of the doubt on a lot of things. However, it is a ton of work. It helps to have a partner that's on the same page as you. But this is your human that
like
you created.
Like 50% yours.
Put in the work. And I also kind of understand from a dude's perspective, because I was 24 when I found out I was going to be a dad for the first time. It's overwhelming. It's terrifying. There was no shortage of books thrown in my direction. No book will teach you how to be a dad or a parent. You just kind of figure it out. You can do better than others. There are things you can study and you want to learn. But it's human nature to be like a decent parent. It's not difficult. So just offer him advice and options. Don't tell him, you need to be doing this. You should be doing that.
Right.
You got to figure it out on your own. It's not going to happen overnight. The kid might be 3 by the time he finally gets comfortable and confident in what he's doing. I hate that answer. Everything I just said, I don't even know what I just said.
I think it all makes sense.
Okay.
I think that was
as long as it made sense to you. Because as it was coming out, it was all over the
place.
And
it was on just what you were feeling in the moment. So you can't go wrong with that.
There we go. I just want to be impulsive like Wilson Phillips.
Question number two.
Completely ignored my Wilson
Someday
Phillips.
Somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye.
That wasn't the song I was singing. Baby, I was singing Impulsive. Different
don't
hit.
Don't you know, there's a thing, there's a turn, it'll go your way if you hold on for one more day. Hold on for one more day. Question number two. Honey. Okay, so this person sent like a bunch of random weird questions like, what do you think of truck drivers?
Hate them.
So random. He sent a litany of questions. That was one of them, and I think it's hilarious. So let's just go on to this third part. I've been trying to date a woman with kids since last October. We have known each other casually, off and on, for a couple of years. For Christmas, I added her on my phone bill. Everything seemed to be going well until January, but in all this time, she invited me into her home. We would cook for each other, watch movies as a group, and I helped her kids fill up tires with bikes. Babe, I don't know if this will make sense.
Fill up tires with bikes?
Yes, that's
how many
what it
bikes
says.
Does it take to fill up a tire?
Like, exactly. And I'd color and play tic-tac-toe. She says I'm different. Weird. But not in a bad way. She still wants to keep in touch. She still seemingly wants to see how things go. And she says if she wants me gone, she will tell me. Do you have any advice? Babe, we can't answer that.
I think based on what I just ascertained from all of that madness is, my friend, if you're listening, I think you've been dumped. She's just trying to let you down easy. Take her off your phone bill, man. Either that or she's not into you anymore. And she's also just afraid to cut ties because maybe she likes not having to pay for her phone bill or the benefits that you do bring to her
life.
She's
using you.
Yeah, you're being used here in some way or another. Get out of Dodge, dude.
Yeah, just get out of there. Question number three, honey. How many dates do you go on before you become official? I don't fucking know. It depends on the situation. How many dates did we go on before we became official?
I don't know, but I remember telling you I love you, and you said thanks.
Babe, because it was too soon. Okay. I didn't feel like I could say it right away.
Okay.
You really had to bring that up.
Sure did. And now we're going to make our exit from the show, so people are going to have a week for it to fester within.
Well, aren't you going to answer the question?
No.
How many dates do you think?
I don't know. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Oh, Maron, you've been hanging out with me too much.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Well, guys, we really appreciate you listening and sending emails. Please send us some more emails so we don't have to answer these weird questions.
How many bikes does it take to fill a tire?
Send us some more questions at, or bear with us at...
bearwithuspod@gmail.com.
Follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. Give us a review, leave us a star or five.
Isn't it crazy ironic how we just spent 30 minutes tearing apart social media and end by saying, hey, follow us there.
Welcome to 2020, bitches.
Necessary evil.
It is. So we appreciate all of you. You guys are just simply the best. You're better than all the rest. Better than anyone. Anyone I've ever met. So we appreciate you. We love you. We see you, we hear you, we feel you in our hearts and in our souls. Down into my belly, I feel you.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us.
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.